All right, welcome to your moment of food. This is Casey.
This is Sue.
And we are discussing the Doctor Who Christmas special of 2014, Last Christmas. I gave you my heart, but
and the very next day, you gave it
you
away.
You gave it away.
You can't tell me you weren't all thinking that.
I'm amazed it wasn't referenced at all in the episode.
Right?
That is a crime. Oh, also Santa.
Yeah.
Just Santa.
Uh-huh.
It was weird. That was weird for me. So I guess we're just going to jump right into it. Yeah.
Same page.
We have spoilers.
What?
These books are from your future. You don't want to read ahead, spoil all the surprises. Not peeking at the end.
Isn't traveling with you one big spoiler?
I try to keep you away from major plot developments, which, to be honest, I seem to be very bad at.
You know, after somebody who didn't watch this in real time, I did watch it on Christmas Day with my family. And one of my friends who hadn't seen it yet asked me what it was like how was it? I'm like, I don't know. It's weird. It is Alien meets Inception.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
And they don't even deny that they're essentially stealing the aliens from Alien. It's just right there in the script.
Yeah. Yeah, as soon as I finished the episode this morning so that it could be fresh on my mind. And by the way, this is still the only time I have seen the episode.
I did watch it again today, but it's been, almost a month, so.
But I came away saying, I just watched the Doctor Who version of Inception. That's all it was. Because the Doctor kept saying, it's a dream within a dream. It's a dream within a dream within a dream. There was even a part. If you've seen the movie Inception, you'll know what I'm talking about. But if you haven't, spoilers for Inception. There's a part in Inception where Leonardo DiCaprio meets up with the Ken Watanabe character as an older man. And what happens in this episode? The Doctor meets Clara as an older woman.
Well, even the end, too, is right out of Inception. How they spin the top at the very end, and it keeps spinning,
yes!
But they walk away. And then, you know, they change the lighting at the last shot of the episode, and there's the tangerine. Like, I don't know. It just... The whole thing... They added some twist to it, and they made some changes, but it just seems very unoriginal to me, even with the changes that were made. And it leaves me kind of sad and wistful for the, like, happy-go-lucky, feel-good Christmas episodes. Like, I want my Christmas Doctor Who to not be, like, dark and imminent death-filled, you know? Maybe it's distance from them that's making me think more fondly on them. But I'm thinking about, like, the Narnia one and the Christmas Carol one with the fish. Like, they just, they had a different feel about them. And this is just, like, danger all the time.
Well, Stephen Moffat has been beating into our heads over and over again that it's going to be a darker Doctor Who now that Peter Capaldi is aboard. But I don't know. At least with Russell T. Davies' gloom and doom stuff, it was mostly original. Mostly. I mean, he did have an homage with the Voyage of the Damned with those B-movies about, you know, the ships capsizing and how basically everybody dies except... Anyway, but this is just Inception. There's nothing original about it. It's kind of like when you go to a fan fiction website and you come across an AU that is basically the plot of an entire movie for your favorite TV show. It's unoriginal. And as someone who reads fan fiction, I try to avoid that because you're just plagiarizing.
It essentially feels like an AU crossover instead of an homage, you know?
Like, I love homages, but if you're basically directly taking from the plot of another movie or two, then I'm not interested. Sorry.
And I don't want to sound hypocritical in this because I brought up the other two Christmas specials by referencing what they were referencing, so the Narnia and the Christmas Carol, but they weren't just the same plot over and over again. It's like they entered into those worlds and did something different with them.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair, those were also both Moffat-era episodes. I'm assuming because they were specials that he wrote them, but I don't know offhand, and I don't feel like pulling it up. But those are both 11th Doctor episodes, and they were just lighter and more Christmassy. Like, yes, this episode had Santa Claus in it, but other than that, it didn't really feel like Christmas to me.
It really didn't. I'm going to cover some of the stuff that I liked. I really loved the Peter Capaldi and Clara Jenna Coleman performances. The parts where the Doctor wasn't Sherlock were great. However, also talking about plagiarizing from your own material, the Doctor says to someone, "Oh, I've deleted you." That is directly from Sherlock. The catchphrase, "Oh, whatever it was, I deleted it."
But okay. Enough of the whining to begin with. I thought the opening of this was really cute. With Santa on the roof and like they're trying to cover up what they were really doing. And even into the credits when the TARDIS spins around and the snow flies off.
Yeah. It was very cute.
And then it just got weird.
It really did.
And I'm so tired of the darkness. Like, darkness in a show is one thing, and like, don't get me wrong, I'm watching Orphan Black and I love Battlestar Galactica, and those things got dark. But they didn't constantly tell me how dark they were. And I feel like that's what Doctor Who has been doing. Like, it's our darkest hour. It's even darker than the last darkest hour.
It's so dark.
I can't even find a light switch. I just... Enough.
I just hit my knee on the table. It's so dark.
But just me too, personally. I am so sick of the relationship between the Doctor and Clara where all they do is lie to each other.
Yep.
I'm sick of it. Why would either of them want to be with the other one? Even be friends with the other one. I'm not saying be like in the romantical sense. Just why would they want to spend time together if they're all they do is lie to each other? I don't get it.
I am going to say there are ways to pull off that kind of relationship on TV because sometimes those are really fascinating. But with Clara and the Doctor, it's not interesting. It doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't work. I will say that there was a really good interaction bit. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I think the Doctor gives Clara an order and she says, "Would you like a cup of tea as well?" And he says, "Yes, and I would also like a punch in the face." That was really, to me, that was really cute. And I'm like, oh, this is how I interact with my friends. Yeah, I mean, with my guy friends.
It's not the dialogue or anything that's necessarily a problem at this point. It's just, I don't understand why those two people, those two characters, care about each other at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of telling and not showing. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. And so when you see moments where it kind of shows the relationship or friendship I've been waiting for all season 8 to see, just like little snippets happening in the Christmas episode and then back to what it was where the Doctor says, "Oh, I can't tell if you're old or not. I can't tell." And it's like, Stephen Moffat changed that around a little bit to where he says, "You always look the same to me." And it goes to basically his point of view where old Clara looks like young Clara again. But at the same time,
And yet he spent the entire season making fun of the way she looks.
Exactly. It makes no sense.
So it's supposed to be sweet, but it's just, if you look at it in that context, it's still kind of offensive.
Yep. I don't know what to say. I like Nick Frost. Nick Frost was funny.
Mm-hmm. Some of the Santa stuff was good.
Some of the Santa stuff. I still thought it was very weird to have Santa involved. I guess for me, it was just too many ideas, as we've talked about before.
Yeah, as has been
criticized Moffat with before. Yeah,
yeah, has been an issue really since last Christmas special, or even since before last Christmas special.
Yeah, because I thought the Narnia episode was cute. I don't know why we keep calling it the Narnia episode. The Christmas special with all the trees and where they go through the wardrobe.
Yes.
That was cute.
It's the Narnia episode.
It's the Narnia episode. But it was still one too many ideas. And that I remember we both said, it was cute, but it wasn't as good as the last one. And then the one following, which was Moffat trying to wrap up Trenzalore, that didn't work out so well. And now we're here with Inception, Alien, Doctor Who, Santa Time.
Right, so actually it was the Christmas Carol one with the fish was 2010.
Yes.
The Doctor, the Widow, and the Wardrobe, the Narnia one, was 2011. The Snowmen, which was the Clara episode, Victoria and Clara, was 2012.
We had some gripes about that one where it was too many ideas, but we loved Clara.
Right, that Clara was fantastic.
I love that Clara. I wanted that Clara so bad.
And then it was the Time of the Doctor last year, and then last Christmas. That last mm-hmm. Christmas thing was so beat into the ground. I just...
Yeah, it was. You see, the Danny Pink stuff in the dream, I can rationalize in my head that it's Clara's subconscious giving herself some logic to get out of her dream. But when he says, you get 5 minutes to give me a really good cry, and they're my 5 minutes, so you better make use of them. And then you get on with the rest of your day. I'm kind of like, no. I kind of found that part grating on me. I can't even explain why. It just made me upset. And it's not the way the actor delivered it. He was really sweet, but just the words bothered me, you know?
That was the best noise to put there. I understand what you're saying, but I don't know the words to describe it either. It would seem almost arrogant, but mm-hmm. knowing that he's a construct of her mind, it can't be. It's sort of like she's giving herself a pep talk through her memory of him or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's just odd. Just odd.
Yeah. It didn't fit well at all. And it also seemed like they tried to give him some sort of sentience in her dream. Like it's the ghost of Danny Pink, but it's not. It's a dream.
Right.
And then when the doctor tells Clara, Danny Pink died to save the world, he said, no, I died to save Clara. The rest of you just got lucky. I was like, f*** you, buddy. Oh, no, wait, you're Clara's mind. I was just like, oh, the egocentric stuff that the doctor was talking about in season 8 might be true.
Another piece to the Inception puzzle, I guess, is that the doctor outright says to Shona, you're not going to remember any of this when you wake up. And then after the doctor wakes Clara up the second time, she asks if she's old. So she's
what?
Remembering, right? Right?
Yes. Yes. This episode is hilarious for all the wrong reasons. I will say that the part I definitely liked was the part where Shona, the blonde girl, was dancing.
Yeah. I liked Shona. She
fantastic.
Was fun.
I did too. A part of me was like, why can't we have companions like that? There need to be more comic relief companions that are full of vulnerability. That sounds familiar. Who could that be? A comedian who is able to show a vulnerable side.
Only the best one.
Yeah. Yes. Correct.
I don't really have much else to say about this, except I was kind of left feeling awkward about it. And actually, I have to admit, a little disappointed that Clara's coming back for Series 9.
Yeah, I thought when they showed Clara as an older woman, that would have been the perfect send-off for her. It would have been perfect because it had the moments of the Sarah Jane episode from season 2 that I really liked, where Sarah Jane says goodbye at the end of school reunion, but she's going to go off on her own adventures. And I thought that would have been a really sweet place to end. I think that would have, that could have saved the episode for me.
She lived a full and complete life without the interference of the Doctor, except, of course, that line that implies that he was the only other man for her, which I roll. But I don't know. I'm disappointed, especially after we talked about at the end of last season how nice it would be to see a companion that was specifically, I don't know, designed / created to be paired with Capaldi's Doctor rather than one that started with Matt Smith, because their relationship and their dynamic might be a lot better. And I like each of these characters individually, but I just don't think that Clara and the 12th Doctor mesh.
I agree. Yeah, and honestly, it was the sweetest we've ever seen Peter Capaldi's Doctor be. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it fit, you know? And I think it would have been, you know how we talked about how he kept making fun of her looks throughout the entire 8th season? The part where he says, "You always look the same to me," and it shows younger Clara. I think I would have read it differently if that had been a switch, like, oh, you know, she is beautiful. She is always, she's going to be his Clara no matter how old she is or whatever. And then he could go off and find his own adventures. But then they had that where she's young again and he's just like, I can't tell if you're old or not. Hold on. I don't know. I mean, it was a genuine moment that, in my opinion, was kind of ruined.
Yeah. I would agree. So, Barky.
You have opinions? So we have two naysayers and one dog who absolutely loved it, even though he cannot understand English.
Okay, we did get an email from Reggie about the second half or thereabouts of series 9.
I think it's the last 4th.
Sure, sounds good.
Because he covers.
It starts with Forest of the Night.
Yes, and there were 12 episodes in season 8.
So Reggie says, "Hello, hello, Sue and Casey. Just wanted to write in some thoughts on Doctor Who this season. The season hasn't been my favorite. There have been some really great moments, but a lot of the episodes have been more miss than hit. I have thoroughly enjoyed Peter Capaldi and Jenna Coleman's performances. I feel like they did the most with what they were given. And again, I wish the writing was on par with their performance."
He continues, "The Forest of the Night has got to be one of the worst episodes of Who since its return. There is so much that is just not right. One hardly knows where to begin. The bad science was distracting. We don't live in a world where everyone is sleeping at the same time. Yet the episode posits that the world woke up to see trees that have grown overnight. A good portion of the Earth must have seen these trees growing in real time. Then you have to ask, if trees can grow this fast to protect the Earth, why are we having a problem with deforestation? How do trees protect the Earth if they don't extend beyond the atmosphere? What about the ISS, satellites, and other things orbiting the Earth? If trees can put out fires and resist being burned, why do places like California and Colorado have a burn season? Are those trees too lazy to put themselves out? And are they trying to tell us the trees returned the girl's sister, or did they kidnap her?" Oh my god, that's so funny. So many... So many questions, so little answers.
At the risk of being a Debbie Downer, one of Rachel Dratch's best SNL characters, the two-part finale didn't really do it for me. There were some fun moments like seeing old faces from the 50th. Clara bluffing the Cyberman into thinking she was the Doctor was amusing. For the most part, there was a lot of "Well, that doesn't make sense" moments. The producers, in my humble opinion, let the wind out of their own sails in that lead-up to the finale. Many of the "oh wow" moments were spoiled far in advance. It was really no surprise that Missy was the master. It was hinted at and speculated enough that it was hardly a surprise. Through previews and the show's social media, we knew the Cybermen were coming back. When you have skeletons sitting in the pool of liquid that only shows organics, it isn't a big jump to think that those skeletons are Cybermen. But what bugged me most about these episodes is that it seems a lot of events only occur to move the plot from one point to the next. Pink dies and Clara falls off the deep end. She threatens the Doctor, though it isn't a threat because he can snap his fingers and open the TARDIS, then gives in and agrees to find heaven. They instead stumble upon Missy, who reveals the great plan of the Cyberman army, which she plans to give to the Doctor. Kudos to them for that one. Her Cyberman army is kind of diabolical. The Doctor has shown us such disdain for soldiers this whole season. To force someone to become what they hate to save others is brilliant in its own right. But Missy's plan, if you can call it that, requires too many pieces to fall into place. What if Pink hadn't died? What if Clara had done what most people do and moved on? What if the Doctor, after seeing Clara's betrayal, had simply kicked her off and moved on? There are so many variables that Missy couldn't control or even affect. It makes you wonder when she had planned on springing her trap.
I know I'm ranting, and I should stop, but I just want Doctor Who to be better than this. It is better than this. Stop with the relationship drama. Maybe go back to Monster Trip of the Week instead of forcing a season-long subplot. Even though I didn't enjoy this season as much as I would have liked, I still look forward to more Doctor Who. Christmas can't get here fast enough. Thank you for letting me rant, Reggie. P.S. Apologies if I'm too late for the moment of Who.
Well, it got into the Christmas episode.
It did! Yay, Reggie!
Which is being recorded at the end of January.
Well.
just you know. Yeah, I would agree with a large quantity of that. I think we did, too. It's been a while since we recorded that episode.
Yeah. I do think we give more credit to Forest of the Night because we hated Kill the Moon a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he has many good points about Forest of Night.
So Doctor Who comes back in, I think, September is the vague date we've been given.
That sounds about right.
With The Magician's Apprentice. So, okay. Barky. Dog. The one really excellent piece of good news that has broken, I think it was before the Christmas episode, but after the series ended, is that Series 9 will have a woman writer on the show for the first time since 2008.
Yay! Oh, that's sad.
So clearly we have high hopes. I have high hopes. And I'm trying not to get them too high because I really don't want to be let down. But my fingers and toes and arms and legs and eyes are all crossed.
I have high hopes but low expectations.
Isn't that sad?
It is. Because I still love the show.
It's kind of amazing to look at the tonal shift that the show has had over the last 8 years or so.
Yeah, it's been really interesting.
I kind of want it to, I don't know if I want to go back all the way to series one, but I would like some of the goofy, exploring, wide-eyed, excited Doctor back. Not just the dark, grumpy, everyone is ugly and I'm going to make fun of you, Doctor.
Yeah, I miss that too. I was kind of hoping for that with Peter Capaldi because I know he's a comic actor as well as a really great dramatic actor. You see that. You see his dramatic side in The Torchwood Children of Men. He's really good. Uh-huh. And then you also see bits of him in this Hugh Laurie comedy, 40-something. And he's hilarious. So it's like, what? When he smiled, I loved it, but at the same time, it freaked me out because it was so out of character for the 12th Doctor.
I just want the Doctor to be excited by something, you know?
I miss that so much.
But I don't think there's anything more to add.
I don't either. This is Casey.
This is Sue.
And this has been your moment of Who.
If you wish to contact the Anomaly Supplemental, you can at the email address, which is moregirlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks with a Z at gmail.com. Or you can call the voicemail line at 248-419-4335. Check out the Anomaly blog for geeky articles and Anomaly Supplemental show notes. Find it online at anomalypodcast.com. That's anomalypodcast.com. Anomaly was created under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 Unported License. Say that three times fast.
How you feel? No, I understand you want Clara. No, I know you love Clara. It's okay to like Clara. We're not saying that it's bad to like Clara. We just think she should be okay. All right. You don't have to get mad.